Welcome to the Thursday night broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us this Thursday evening service for the Fishman Ministry in South Carolina.
Thank you, Lord, for another day to serve you, another day to worship you. I ask that you would bless this service. And with the conference coming up, Lord, that our hearts would be softened, that you would draw us close to you, Lord, that we would be prepared to hear and receive your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Beauty that made this heart adore you. Good evening, everybody.
So last week I was at the library and a lady pulls out an audiobook that I had wanted to check out. She opens it and all the CDs fall out. She goes, "Some people just don't have home training." And I thought, and then she tells me, "But I try to give them the benefit of the doubt." And I said, "Well, while that may be the truth, you also can't use, you have to stop using your childhood as an excuse. At some point, it can't be an excuse anymore." Which got me to thinking, how many times in my walk have I used my husband as an excuse, my children as an excuse, my authorities as an excuse? It's too hard as an excuse. I don't know what to do as an excuse. Just excuses upon excuses upon excuses. And if I'm honest with myself and I'm honest with those around me, too often. But that doesn't have to be my testimony going forth. Which took me to Philippians 2:12. The end of it is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'll read the beginning to you guys. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So, now for myself going forward, it's one of stop making excuses. Stop using the circumstances as excuses. Stop using other people as excuses. Stop. And that's it for me tonight.
"But it's raining outside."
Stop using excuses, Paul.
Everybody, I just wanted to start out by saying I have some good news and some good news regarding my family. My brother Carl called me on Friday, and he was at once part of this ministry, and he kind of backslid a little bit. And anyway, he called me because he's got fighting some kind of cancer, and I tried to witness to him, you know, that this was not an illness, that it was a demonic thing. And we were talking about him possibly coming down and staying with me a little bit, maybe even going to the conference. And he said, "Well, I'll pray about it and see what happens," because he said he had prayed about a situation where he was in to be with his current people that he's staying with. Anyway, I emailed him, I think, Monday or Tuesday, and asked him to say what's happening. And then all of a sudden, I think it was like maybe Wednesday, I got an email back, "Oh, well, I can't go because all of a sudden now my calipers on my car are bad. There's something else, exhaust that needs to be worked on. You know, this is $500, that's $800, there goes my money." I guess it wasn't God's plan for me to go. I'm thinking, "Oh, Lord." No, I said that. I told him, I said, "Who is it that doesn't want you to succeed? Who is it that doesn't want you to prosper in the Lord?" I said, "It's not the Lord. It's Satan." I said, he got the glimpse that you might actually come and be with the body again. And he, you know, if you really want to be there, I said, you just have to make up your mind, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. Not what I want to do. Not what the world says is right to do, but what you want me to do. What's going to please you. I said, if you have your heart to go and you ask the Lord, if it's to please him, he will make it happen. If it's for his glory, he will make it happen. All you have to. And he finally, his reply was, well, you know, he thought I was insistent on, I was the one that wanted him to come down here. And I said, I don't care. I mean, I've been by myself all these years, and I'll be by myself probably the rest of my life. I don't care one way or the other if you come down here. Yeah, I'd like to see you, but it's not, you know, urgent. For me, I said, it's for you to prosper in the Lord, for you to get to know the Lord, to get closer to the Lord, and also for you to be a part of the body again and to possibly be healed of this, or, you know, at least have the demonic possession off of him, out of him, whatever. But, you know, finally, I guess, after sending him several scriptures, the one she just read, was one of them was the first one that I listed, Philippians 2:12. But also, I finally, I put at the end of it, in Philippians 4, verse 8, and this is the scripture that when I first started discipling with Ann, that she told me, whenever I'm feeling down, whenever I'm feeling thoughts coming into my head that ain't right, that ain't of the Lord, to read this and remind myself again. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And this has been really another thing that Davey had said recently. You know, think of Paul and Silas when they were thrown in the prison. They were beaten, and they were thrown not just in a prison cell, you know, like a bare floor, walls, grates, whatever. No, they were thrown in the very, very bottom of that prison, where all the sewage comes down. I mean, they were, just think of it, their backs were ripped open from being beaten. They're in the bottom of the worst stinky filth you could ever think of. And yet, in all that, they're not saying, oh, poor pitiful me, or oh, why me? No, they decided, no, I'm going to praise God. And you see what happened. So whatever it says, whatever things, you know, all things work for good to them that are the called according to his purpose. So no matter where you're at, no matter where your focus is, get it off you because it ain't about you. Number one, and then the other one, I met another brother that a few years ago, I've been praying for him for a long time that the Lord do whatever it takes to bring him to him before he leaves this earth. And he went to work one day and he had this symptom like a heart attack. He rushed to the hospital. They ran all these tests. Couldn't find anything wrong. So they let him go, went back to work. Same thing happened again. And I mean, they said, well, I mean, the symptoms were exactly like a heart attack. And they checked and checked and ran some more tests. Couldn't find anything. So gets up, you know, gets released from the hospital, gets ready, goes back to work. Next day, it happened again. And then finally my brother said in the hospital, he said, well, I guess God's trying to get my attention. He quit drinking, quit smoking, and he called my nephew and said, hey, what was the name of that church you took me to that one time? And ever since then, his wife, both of them, they were alcoholics. I mean, it was a workaholic and an alcoholic. And, you know, he gave his life to the Lord. Anyway, praise God for that. But the church that he was going to, he said that recently, you know, since he'd been going to them, he didn't like tithe. He didn't understand what tithe is because most of the churches out there don't teach you what a tithe is. But a tithe means one-tenth. One-tenth right off the top. If you have any curiosity about it, just read the first three books of the Bible and you'll get a good idea what it's about. Anyway, he told me that what he would do is he'd think about, well, I got this bill coming up or I got that thing coming up. And he would just like put maybe $20 in the plate. And he said, you know what? A couple weeks ago, he said, you know, he's been going through some trouble because he quit one job to try to find a better job because he wasn't really, I guess, wasn't going anywhere. Anyway, that company did not work out. What they promised him didn't pan out. And the company that he left screwed him out of his vacation time. They just, you know, anyway, to make a long story short, he's on his like a third job in the last few months. Well, the guy hired him. He hired him for like a dollar more on the hour than what he was making before, but he didn't have any benefits, whereas the previous company, he had benefits. He had health insurance. Anyway, so he asked the guy about it, and he says, well, we don't currently have it, but, you know, I'm going to give you an extra dollar on the hour to help you be able to afford it. And then, so he'd been working for this guy for about 5 weeks. And 2 weeks ago, he decided, well, I think we need to be tithing 10%. And he said he was going to step out in faith and start tithing 10% of his paycheck. And lo and behold, Friday, the guy asked him, you saw the extra money I put on your check? Yeah, yeah. Well, come to my office Monday morning. I need to talk to you. Well, he didn't know what was going on, so he went to the office Monday morning, and the guy says, no, don't worry about keep the extra dollar per hour, but here, we got you health insurance for both you and your wife. Now, tell me that God is not good. He multiplied it back to him because he stepped out in faith. And that's what I was trying to teach my other brother, Carl, is that if you take one step forward, God says, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. If you step forward to God, you step out in faith, you get God's attention. And he said, test me on this. I will multiply it back to you. He said that the floodgates of heaven will open up. It's the tithe is for the pastor, the offerings are for the upkeep of the church, and the alms, that's between you and God. Your reward is in heaven. That's between you and God. Anyway, I thought it was good news that, you know, my brother, I didn't hear from him until my brother Carl, the one in Michigan, he texted me last night and sent me two emails, like three or four texts. So after he read that, he finally got a hold of Ricky. Ricky told him to, read John chapter 10. And he said that Satan was just putting so much weight on him that it was so painful for him to even hold that Bible up to read it. But he was determined, and he read at least through John chapter 10. So praise God. And he is now saying that he knows he needs to be with this ministry, and I believe he's going to be at the conference this year. So praise God.
Good evening, everyone. I don't have much, but we're all getting ready to head out to Texas like we usually do this time of year. The Athertons left today. We're going to be leaving in a few days, and we all make our way out there in the next couple weeks. And I just encourage you to pay attention. Pay attention where you walk. Because the devil's trying to get you. Don't let him. He's trying, just pay attention. Be aware. Be aware of what's going on. You see something going on, and you're like, why is this coming on me now? There's a very good reason for it, because you're getting ready to do what the Lord would have you do. You're going to go and be with the body and be strengthened. And the devil will do everything that he possibly can to prevent that, up until the point that you actually get to the ranch. I remember the first time we ran and went to the ranch, the road in. I was like, oh my, the devil really doesn't want you to get in here. But the way out is so smooth. Have you ever noticed that? Bumpy on the way in, smooth on the way out. There's a reason for it. But we sang the song, Praise Him. Praise Him, serve Him, choose Him, thank Him. We didn't sing that verse, and love Him. In the morning, in the noontime, in the evening, and every single time in between, we need to praise Him, thank Him, choose Him constantly. If we are constantly looking to serve and choose Him, then we'll stay on that path with Him. He never leaves. He never leaves us. He's going down the straight and narrow. It's us who are sometimes are walking with Him, and we go like this, or we're going like this, and we meet up with Him every now and again. We want to stay with Him. So every moment of every day, we need to choose Him.
Show. So what you're telling me is I screwed up the timing. Maybe the first time. It seems as though as the time gets closer to the conference that everybody's getting busier. I know the doctors are lining up a regimen for me that's going to keep me busy until we depart. I think the doctors will be chasing me as we do. They're planning on doing a whole bunch of counseling and instruction and an insertion of a tube to receive the chemicals. It'll go in like right here under the skin. We had more surgery is what I'm looking at, and it's not even a surgery that directly relates to anything. I've loved so much the relationship I'm building with the hospital inside. It is worthy of note that the enemy does everything in the world he can to distract us and make our lives all about ourselves. And to take our eyes off of the only deliverance there is, which is in Jesus Christ. And, you know, Davey was talking, I don't know, a couple weeks ago now, about really being out of Romans 12, not just a sacrifice for yourself, but a sacrifice for somebody else. As we walk and draw closer to the Lord, we're perhaps offered those opportunities, and what we do with them is on us. My mind is, you know, first place I want to go to is, why is this happening to me? You know, that's not the place. But that's the one we're trained to react like. But what it really, and what, going back to Philippians, Paul's talking about in, for instance, chapter 3 is the opposition to the natural thought and even what's being taught in the natural by those who we give great esteem and credentials to because they're the possessors of the knowledge. The university professors and seminary professors, and you know, Paul had that in droves and more. But in first, starting in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. They were worthless to me. They didn't advance me in the knowledge of Christ or the operations of the kingdom of God in one whit. They were worthless. Doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, I haven't looked this up, but I'll just point out that in the Elizabethan King James, we think suffering is pain, agony, hurt, distress, terror, and all kinds of other stuff combined. In the Elizabethan, that just means allowed, which means he chose to receive that. Consequence that he may win Christ. Again, that's another choice that we have to, you know, look ourselves in the mirror and say we're willing, we would rather win Christ than to keep all this stuff. If any of this stuff is going to keep me distracted and not paying attention to the things of Jesus Christ, then I'm done with it. Done with it. As a matter of fact, I'm done with it until I find that the Lord tells me there's a need for it. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Now that's what this sacrifice, this living sacrifice that Jesus Christ, who showed us how it was done, was able to procure for Paul and everybody else who receives him. They get to partake of his righteousness and his faithfulness right up to the point of the cross, for which the Father rewarded him with resurrection and gave us a gift that is immeasurable. Not just the forgiveness of our sins and all of the other good stuff that he bound up in that. Sacrificial act, that transformational act of Jesus Christ, healing and deliverance and every good thing. If we're willing to receive it, we can be partakers in that by allowing the Lord to do the same things with us that will transform other people in the same way. It's just a matter of what you're willing to choose. Of that which Jesus went through for yourself. And, you know, the opportunities out there are abundant. The question is, are you going to be operating in His mind, or are you going to be operating in yours? If you're operating in His, you'll see the opportunities and serve Him and please Him. And see if somebody else won't grab hold of that transformational act of sacrifice and receive the life and the healing and deliverance and the love of Christ by simply imitating what He did. There's, you know, ample opportunities. Opportunity both in my breathing and in this bladder cancer thing to demonstrate, if I'm doing it right, to demonstrate to others how to go through the process and yet still receive what the Lord has for them. And, you know, I choose to be the Lord's. And, every now and then, I need an attitude adjustment. But, you know, the Lord's good and He's faithful, and He's put a lot of people around me who like to take care of that for me. And I praise God for it. And you know, let's see if we can keep our selves focused and centered on Him. And really actively choosing to stay in His mind and denying, you know, everything that, what does it say in 2 Corinthians again? I want to quote it accurately. You know, it is, as it says here, we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, read that so wrong for so many years. It said the obedience to Christ. It doesn't say that. It says it's Christ's obedience. Bringing into captivity every thought. That means focusing on His obedience. The completeness of His obedience. The choice that He made to yield Himself to for us to the cross. A criminal's death. And when you finally learn how to do that, you can avenge all disobedience because you're now fulfilling your own. You're really tapping into the mind of Christ. And you're going to see the more you learn, the more you understand, you know, the focus of the word here is not, the focus of the word here is to take yourself too seriously. Not all about you. It's all about Jesus. It's all about how much He loved us and how it's our job to show that to other people. That's what we're supposed to be doing. If we're not doing that, then we are fooling ourselves if we think we can partake of any of that goodness. Because it's clear we don't know it. If we knew it, we'd act different. And that's what the call here is to do. The call here is to get connected with Him and see opportunities where before you just saw defeat. It's like, can't wait to see how the Lord's going to show up and move in this matter. Can't wait to see how the Lord's going to start show up and move in this matter. And have an expectation of that. I have an expectation of that for the conference. I have an expectation the Lord is going to move. And it's going to be good for everybody who partakes. It may be good for those who partake afterwards as well. I've been up here too long. Let's play some music.
Lord, you are more precious. You can turn the dark into light. You can take a soul that was lost and turn it around. Lord, on my own, I can turn as hard as a stone, but you can make it tender again with your love. Stir up a hunger in my heart. Nothing will satisfy me, nothing else will do. Stir up a hunger in my heart. Stir up a hunger in my heart for more of you. Day into night, you can turn the dark. You can take a soul that was lost and turn it around. Lord, on my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone, but you can make it tender again with your love. Stir up a hunger in my heart. Nothing will satisfy me, nothing else will do. Stir up a hunger in my heart. Stir up a hunger in my heart for more of you. Stir up a hunger in my heart. Nothing will satisfy me, nothing else will do. Stir up a hunger in my heart. Stir up a hunger in my heart for more of you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next time.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.